Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bay Village High School Athletic Hall of Famer Dave Zastedil, former Browns punter, at Zasty9 on Twitter. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Diamond Dave, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ken. How are you?
Good. When's the last time you've been on Twitter?
I check it from time to time, but I don't post too many things.
Yeah.
But if you're going to throw my Twitter handle out like that, I'll probably have to start doing that.
Well, you're going to have to change your avi because it's with you and another radio show host. I don't like it.
How active are you on Instagram now?
I try to post a couple times a week, but if you look through the things that like are on the search things, there's a lot of old farm equipment. There's a lot of old trucks here. A lot of pimple popping videos. A lot of NASCAR and F1. It's not what you may think, Diamond Dave.
A select crowd of viewers will like that.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So
good, man.
I got to start off. I'm gonna ask your opinion on Baker and the whole thing coming up in a second. But Cade York, fourth round pick, right? Too high for the Browns. Go.
I don't think so. I guess I'm a little bit biased. I was fortunate enough to be a fourth-round guy back in 2002, and it's all about situations with the team and where the team's going and how historical that position has played out. You look at the kicking position, and it's pretty obvious since Phil Dawson it's been a pretty big turnover position. And yeah, I think there has to be a little bit of an understanding in the Brownstown of the guys down in Cincinnati. You got obviously Tucker in Baltimore. And then you look at, our historical, position, and you're going, hey, we get November and December here. You got to have a guy that's going to come through and understands what it takes to get you over the top, in especially the fourth quarter when you need that field goal. So I don't think you can ever go too high in a position that you really need after you think you have a caliber type of team.
What did you make of the fact that, you have all these great highlights of him? They love his leg. Scouts are absolutely drooling about some of the things he's able to do. But then he doesn't kick off or didn't handle those responsibilities in college. How relevant is that to you?
Well, that's a good question because, he's a 6'1". I think he's about 205 pounds. He's a big kicker. That's the kind of size that you want at the position. And obviously he's got a strong leg after seeing what he did against Florida and his stats on plus 50 yarders. I think Corey Borkowitz, the punter they brought in, I think he has the ability to kick off as well. But you have two big guys. I mean, this Corey Borkowitz about 6'3", 225. Cade York, 6'1". I mean, you've got guys at the position that they can play out. And we know Corey Borkowitz has played. I think he had a 40-yard net, 45-yard average in Green Bay. And that is not an easy place to kick. That's arguably the hardest place to punt in the NFL. So, I think, those guys are going to come in. I think they'll have an opportunity both to show off what they can do from a kickoff perspective. But kicking off from the 35-yard line now, I don't think it's too much of a point of emphasis as it was in the past. I think any of these guys could get that ball specifically about the first three quarters of the season into the end zone without a problem.
All right, Dave Zastedil will join us on the hotline. All I ever hear from football coaches at any level is competition. We've got to have competition at every position, and it makes them better no matter what. And then Kevin Stefanski, when pressed on it after they cut, the two other kickers on the squad, said, no, this is a big-time draft pick. We will not be having him compete. Do you think that truly matters? Do you think a competition brings out the best? Or in this case, since we know they're not cutting him no matter what happens in the preseason, would that have been moot?
I think it was a smart move by what they did, and I'll tell you why. When you bring a kid in the fourth round, that's going to come with expectations. And I remember from experience going into Baltimore as a fourth-round guy, you felt a little bit more pressure because that's considered a very high draft pick for a specialist. So the fact that they gave him the opportunity to say, hey, this is your job. You're coming in here. We're going to support you. I think right away, if it was me, I would probably feel a little bit more relaxed in case I was going up against a, you know, 8, 9, 10-year veteran punter. The one thing I can tell you is the only disadvantage, and it's a minor thing, I think, with the Browns specialist right now, is you don't have the punter or kicker that have been that has been here for a year or two or three that they can feed, you know, information back off of hey, you know, hey, in Cleveland in November, December, what do you see? What are some of the challenges? You know, what is the practice schedule like? How does the ball move in the air? You know, when we got a, you know, southwest wind in Cleveland Stadium, which, you know, Phil and I always complained about. That's a disadvantage because you don't have someone here that about. I guess that's when we rely on the long snappers because they never admit it, but they're technically a third specialist and they know the kicking game probably about as good as we do. But I think that's the one thing that these guys really have to come in. And I heard Cade York say he wants to get a hold of Phil Dawson. I think that's a great idea. You know, Phil really understood what it took. He understood what the game plans were of how to approach for, you know, games in November, December. But really what he has to do is really get down to that stadium as the season unfolds and it gets colder and windier. You got to get down there during the midweek to get an idea what that's about. I don't think this kid has spent much time in cold weather. So I think the more he can get accustomed to situations in that stadium, I think will help him.
Dave Zastittle joining us, former Browns punter. Find him on Twitter at Zasty9. So what makes it, we hear about the wind. Is there anything that we don't really talk about that makes kicking in the stadium that much more difficult than other places?
Yeah, there's a couple things. Besides the wind, it swirls. So what people don't really understand is the way that stadium's built on the lake, depending on what direction the wind's coming from, you could be on your own 25-yard line, and the wind is blowing a completely different direction than it is by midfield or going in on the 35. So it's constantly challenging. And then the second half, you have to do it in the opposite way. So I think you really have to get accustomed to walking the field, working during the week when you can on different parts of that stadium on the field to know where that is. The second thing is when it gets slick or when it rains, that turf, it's not turf, so it's grass. So you have to bring a bunch of different types of shoes to these games and even go out pregame and figure out what that feel is like. Phil Dawson always talked about, hey, he had to take a short first step. Because if he got long when it was, you know, dewy or it was raining, then his second step would even be longer. Then he started sliding a little bit. So Phil Dawson actually complained more about when that field got wet than he did about the wind.
I find it very interesting, Dave, that Andrew Berry told us last week that scouting has evolved when it comes to the kicking game and specialists. They talked about the internal tracking devices that they're using, that they're able to see more and more. And obviously, the traditional scout in the NFL, you know, they're learning more and more about all the positions, but you kind of feel like they have it down. Doesn't mean they get it right, but they have it down on the tangibles that they care about. But kicking, I feel like over the last 10 years, kickers have such bigger legs at every school. I mean, I'll be at a MAC game anywhere, and both kickers will be able to kick 50-yarders. That just wasn't the case 20 years ago.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, technology brings out a lot of, you know, positive, you know, changes to the sport. And I think kicking's one of them. You get a lot more, you know, get coaches now that can look at, you know, iPads and film differently than they could in the past. And I think, you know, one thing about the kicking position, you know, for me personally, if I was a coach, I'd really want to talk to, you know, the high school coach, the college coach. What was this kid like if he had a bad game? How did he approach practice the next day? Or even in mid-game, you know, if he missed a key field goal, did he come back? What was his attitude? You know, kicking is such a mental game. Obviously, you have to have the physical tools. And it's like golf. You got to be able to have the technique, and you got to do things over and over and have a plan and be consistent. But the mental side is so important. The one thing I hear over and over about kickers coming out these days, and you made a great point, is how, you know, they're kicking plus 50-yarders, 11 of 15. They kicked a 57-yarder. That's all good, and that's great to have that type of leg. But what I'd always want to know and what we always talked about is how do you make the 40 to 49-yard field goal consistently? You know, believe it or not, when you're kicking a 55-yarder, there's less pressure on you than there is kicking a 42-yarder because most people say, if he made it, it's a 55. If he missed it, it's a 55-yarder. So you know, we always put as much emphasis as we could in practice on those 40 to 49 yard kicks from hash to hash, because those are the ones that are the tough ones. So I think if Cade comes in here and really starts understanding what it takes to be a pro early, and that's through conversations, that's talking with a special teams coach, I think with his size and his leg strength, he has the ability to be here for a long time. So I just think it's the mental side of the game that's so important these days.
What would you do with Baker Mayfield?
I think you got to try to find a trade partner some way or somehow. I think Andrew Berry being patient is a reflection that there hasn't been the deal that he's hoping for. And I think, you know, once you get through free agency, you get through the draft, now you can see what teams need, you know, going into the season. I think he's going to hold on and as long as he can. And then if he's forced to make a decision, he's got to do that in the best interest of the team. But right now, it just seems like, Ken, there's really not a situation that he wants to pull the trigger on right now. So I wish I had the answer, but I just can't see him on the roster going into this fall.
Did you ever have a bad interaction with a fan?
Yeah, Oakland.
Really? Can you tell me any more about that?
Yeah, I had a woman in the first row in the old Coliseum. You know, our kicking net would be right next to the wall. And there was this woman that had shoulder pads, spikes sticking out. And she kept calling my last name something that wasn't my last name. Can't really say it over the radio.
Was it creative? Wow. Was it at least creative, Dave?
It was very creative, very creative. But she would scream it over and over and over. So one time, I hit a ball that, you know, it's a ball I didn't really want to hit. It wasn't a shank, but it just kind of came off my foot out of bounds and came over, man. And it was nonstop. I remember two guys on my team came over like, hey, man, we want to put that net on the opposite side of the field. And it was like fourth quarter, so we couldn't do it. But, yeah, Oakland fans can be brutal.
I've always wondered, Dave, in high school, certain basketball players would do the crisp chest passing drill. And if there was a huge crowd after the JV game and they were very loud and boisterous, one of the old tricks would be for the guy on the receiving end of the chest pass to get out of the way and the ball torpedoes into the stands and oftentimes would hit some female or a cheerleader and everybody would laugh and it would be very sad. Did any specialist ever intentionally miss the net or maybe even accidentally and the ball goes careening into the stands 50 yards away?
It's funny you mention that. There was an Arizona Cardinals Twitter feed that had a picture of me punting against San Francisco out of the end zone. I can't remember the year. I think it might have been 2013 or something like that. And I responded because I had a black harness on my right arm. And the reason I did that is because I went to make a tackle against Dez Bryant one game, maybe 2 weeks before that, and my bicep tore off my shoulder.
Oh my God.
So I had to wear a harness and really punt with one arm. And so Jay Feely, you know, he tweeted back to me the story. They thought he'd have to go in and punt. So he went to the net and went to kick a punt in the net and missed it completely. It went like 40 yards into the sand. So, you know, to answer your question, yes, I've seen it done, but I haven't seen it done intentionally. Wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of if that fan came back after us, but I have seen it accidentally ball kick in the stands. Yeah.
So did you still punt well after your arm injury?
Well, it's not as good as I wanted. Punt with one arm's not easy, but that punt specifically, I tweeted because Ted Ginn was back there, and I hit a low ball, and he returned like 30 yards, and it was ugly. But I got through it, and one punter per team. Ken, you can't if you can play, you got to get through it.
So you really can understand Baker Mayfield, is what you're telling us.
Yeah, I just, you know, getting paid $18.8 million, I think he's sitting back and enjoying life a little bit. I'm sure he's going to have another chance somewhere, but people always said, you know, or I hear him say it, is he going to take a pay cut? Is he going to get paid $18 million guaranteed? I mean, that's what he thinks he deserves. So just sit back and, you know, take the next opportunity and make the most of it.
You are a true gem, Diamond Dave. We thank you very much for the time. Enjoy the Hall of Fame. Enjoy Lima as a neighbor. He's moving over there, bringing your home value down, so... Sorry, buddy.
Very sad.
Lime, you're welcome. You're welcome anytime, buddy.
I want to be invited to the block party.
13-year NFL veteran, Bay Village Hall of Famer, resident of Bay Village with Anthony Lima. Congratulations on both your success. Dave, take care.
Hey, thanks, guys. Have a good day.
You too. Dave Zastidel on Twitter at Zasty9. On the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Great guy. Great guy, that Dave Zastidel.
You think you're going to live anywhere near where Dave's living?
No, 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 no. Not even close.
Dave has a wonderful home in Bay Village.
I imagine. I'm just thinking of that image of Was it Feely?
Yeah, Jay Feely.
Just punting the ball right into the stands. I've always wondered at the end of a game, you know, much like a basketball player just throws a full court shot. And it seems like now, you know, they can make a lot of those. So when they miss really bad, I'm like, that was intentional. They are chucking the ball in the crowd on purpose. And I've always wondered why a punter in a blowout game or whatever doesn't just turn around in the end zone and try to punt the ball out of the stadium. There are some stadiums where I think they can do it. I think at Gillette, you could punt the ball out of the stadium
if
on the one open end.
The two open ends at Nissan Stadium, you could punt it out of there.
Yeah. Oh, how great would that be?
Well, you saw Mahomes threw the one out of Arrowhead. Why can't you just punt it
out? Punt it out.
I want to see that.
Turn around, make sure it's out of there. There you go.
That would be better than a bat flip.
Mike Florio coming on at 9 o'clock.
Can you imagine if punter doesn't ever get to win the game. You can't win the game on a punt. But how great would it be if you just ran down to celebrate and you punted the ball while saying, you know, blank, blank, you're getting the smoke, blank, like Naylor did yesterday.
Coming up next, if you were his neighbor, would you say something? Lyman said he would. Ken Carman, Anthony Lyman, live on the Fan. I think we might know what it is.
It's embarrassing that we didn't know.
Well, I thought it was something else. And then
I did too.
Tron Madden on Twitter said Zastamarital aid. Is that all I said?
Yeah, you put it out there.
I mean,
might as well.
The best way you can say it.
I can't say the name. I don't want to say the name.
That's probably it. That's how you say it. And then
I mean, that is a
move on from saying
he's
it.
He's one of the finest people in Bay Village. I don't want people in Bay Village having a poor.
Don't say that.
Thought at all.
I know I won't be shouting it as I drive past Huntington Beach today.
Speaking of nice homes, you want to help sell a home right now, Lima?
If it's the one, I think I know what you're talking about.
So there's a house for sale west side of Cleveland, right? Bosworth Road, 162. That's the asking price. It's for sale still. Three bed, three bath, 1,600 square feet. The hitch of it is...
Well, that's a good price in this market.
Is there? Well, there you go. But the hitch of it is... And the inside of the home is very nicely decorated. The outside of the home has three dinosaurs out there, and it's being called the Jurassic Park home. And I'm not talking about like, hey, these are little stone dinosaurs that are along the driveway. The one is as tall as the house.
The one dinosaur is
about as tall as the house. I did a street search from July of last year, 2021, is when they drove by, Google drove by. There was only two dinosaurs. Well, right now, this one it looks like an elephant. So there's an elephant in there. There's definitely a dinosaur. And the other one might be a giraffe, but it's definitely a dinosaur.
One's a giraffe.
Okay,
yes.
So there's a giraffe. Okay, so there it's being called a Jurassic
I thought
Park
it was
house.
A stegosaurus.
But that could be a mammoth and...
Well, you know what? There's tusks I see here. So that's a mammoth.
Oh, it's like
so
the tusk house.
The other one has to be some sort of mythological creature then, too. So let's just call... You know, I've seen Tusk.
It's one of my favorite
movies.
And
that is one of the best movies ever.
They literally were just doing a podcast and then started riffing, and they're like, we should make this into a movie.
I was planning to watch it with my son this weekend. Don't ruin it.
It'll bring the family together like you wouldn't believe.
So anyway, this house has a huge dinosaur out front with rocks, and there's a huge display. This thing is meant to be permanent. This is not for, hey, Jurassic Park's coming out again. Here you go. Like, this is meant to be permanent. And the rest of the house looks really nice.
You're buying as is, and you're expected to maintain, and if not, grow the property.
The inside of the house, you don't buy all the decorations. The inside of the house is decorated lavishly in what would seem to be Stone Age, the Mesopotamia era, whatever, Mesozoic era, whatever it is. I don't know. Anyway, Lyman had this thought. It's just glorious. Go ahead.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
My first thought is, well, the next door neighbors should have an asteroid house just devoted. And you get to pick. No, my thought is, if you're the neighbor, I mean, at some point along the process, you're coming outside doing yard work and you're going, hey, what do you got going on? Need any help? Like, you got to come out and find out what project they're putting together. And as it's starting to come together, I'm not sure if the neighbor's friendly or whatever. They've been interviewing this guy. This story is making international news. I am on the Mirror in you know, England. I'm on their website right now, and they're talking about Cleveland, Ohio, and this house. This is what they think about Cleveland, Ohio. Not the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Like, this is front page news.
You can have other attractions. If there's a Christmas Story house, there could be a Jurassic Park house.
Yeah, that's true. There is a Christmas Story house.
Yeah.
And I doubt the neighbors, although they bought the adjoining houses. Or they bought the ones next
they
door.
They filmed the movie Christmas Story.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't film Jurassic Park.
I thought A New World. I thought the sequel they actually
shot. Either way,
shot
you got to ask the question. Ask the question. It's too good.
Chris Pratt's inside.
Yeah, as a neighbor, he might be trapped, unfortunately. If you are the neighbor, are you protesting this? Do you have a chance? Is there a window where you could say, hey, man, can you not do this as a neighbor? Because, you know, this is not the inside of their home. And yes, it's their property. I don't know what the zoning rules are in that area. Obviously, the different places.
I'm sure they don't have a dinosaur specific zoning law.
You don't think it's on the books?
So there are certain things that you have. I mean, you have to ask for permission to zone if you build anything. This is a decoration.
Let's say it's okay and you're permitted to do this.
Okay.
And let's say you're the one that wants to do something exotic or something, a look at me thing like this. And your neighbors come over, not just one, all of them come over and say, hey, can you maybe rethink this or make this seasonal or whatever? What do you do? Do you say, my property? My rights, freedom, America. Like, what can you do as a neighbor to protest? And is there a decency clause? Should we all have some sort of decency and say, hey, if this is a distraction to all our neighbors, we will do the right thing or we will not do
this
it?
This is where the pro-HOA people would come to bite me in the ass. Now, you know me, and I have been staunchly to the point of having to be escorted out of a show home, staunchly against HOA. HOAs. You know what? It's his house. It is not. It's not obscene.
Right. No, you apparently he has the right to do
this. This is not obscenity. This is not pornographic. This isn't disturbing. By the way, and plenty of people have noticed that, Ken, dinosaurs and woolly mammoths are not actually mythological creatures.
It's not the Minotaur.
Now, if you had a mantar out there in front of your house.
I met some people in Arkansas that believe that they didn't really exist.
Well, if you lived in Tinker's Glen and you had an HOA.
Oh, this would be a big deal
This would be a huge deal.
It would be a tourist attraction, yeah.
No, but if you lived in a place that had an HOA, people would be going nuts. Absolutely nuts. But I've been anti-HOA since I ever heard of an HOA. And I got to tell you, Lima, I have to stand by what I say. It's his home. I know it can bring the property values down, but these are not in poor taste. They're a little extreme.
Well, of course, taste is in the eye of the beholder.
I don't feel that these are in poor taste. Like, if I just drove by and saw it and go, it's a little eccentric. Yes, it's a lot eccentric. But I don't find them to be in poor taste. I would have to say, yeah, knock yourself out. I don't know.
Like, so you would say, hey, yeah, do it. Like, if he asked your opinion, what would you say?
Before he built it?
Or during the process. And he said, hey, do you mind? What if he asked?
Do you mind if I build a big 12-foot dinosaur out here with a woolly mammoth and some other creature that nobody can describe even on the radio with help?
What would pandering Ken do who supports his right to do
so? No. I'd say, listen, I would think twice about this. What's the resale value of your home?
Oh, so you'd go down to the economics
of it. I would say, honestly, what's the resale value of your home and everybody else's home? And then if it turned into a confrontation, I go, well, it's your home. You can do whatever you want. But I'd be afraid to – I know I wouldn't like it. I would try to talk him out of it.
Nobody but in that neighborhood likes that. There's nobody that likes that.
I understand that. But if he did it, then he did it. And I don't find this to be in poor taste. So I find a hard time having a big problem with it where I'm the king of it's your home, it's your property. Well, it's the bank's property until a certain time.
Right.
But basically it's your property. You can do what you can do as you please with it. I might be upset with it, but if it's not breaking local laws, who am I to say anything? If it doesn't break local zoning laws, who's Ken Carmen to say anything about how a guy should live his life on his own property? Right? Right.
By just the way, the essence of your statement is correct. Yes, you technically don't have any right to tell him what to do, but that's all we do in life is comment on other people's choices. That's all we do. We comment on the shutters that they put on their house. We comment on are they cutting their grass or are they being a loaf and not attending to it
all the time.
That's all we do.
Not cutting grass.
Right. Oh, that's one of the biggest sources of controversy.
Oh my God, we got a phone. Here we go. 216-578-0092. Mary Ellen. Hello.
Hi guys. Listen, this guy lives right around the corner from me on Bosworth Avenue, and he is an artist who has also done an installation over on 105th. The corner 105th and Fortune, and he's from Africa. He imports rare woods from Africa and makes and from other places and makes furniture and stuff. The reason I know these things is because he was given an award at the Westtown Community Development Corporation, of which I was a board member at the time, and for his art and his creative front yard. There's no zoning things against that as far as I know.
People can put all sorts of art. Yeah, Mary Ellen, I see in Tremont, my God, people, what they think is art is obviously not what other people think. I mean, I've seen some things, and yeah, I think he obviously has the right to do this.
Would you like it,
Mary? If you were the next door neighbor.
Were you the next door neighbor, Mary Ellen, would you like
I
it?
I have no problem with the guy. The guy is on a commercial street. Mm-hmm. These are both on Bosworth and on West 105th. They're both bigger streets. You know, they're cross streets.
Okay.
And as far as I can tell, nothing's, you know, I walk by that guy's place all the time. And he keeps it up beautifully. He's got a nice backyard, which is more than I could say for some people. and we're having a bit of a renaissance in our neighborhood right now because all the houses are going for sometimes more than what's going in the suburbs. So
yes.
We're starting to realize that the houses down here, we actually have garages, we have brick streets, and we have beautiful woodwork in our houses.
And?
So when you come down from Tremont where there's no garages and you get into a place where it was built after cars were invented, there's a lot more interest in this area. And so I could see why people are now – I just saw it on Facebook and on Zillow.
Mary Ellen.
Thank you, Mary Ellen.
Thank you very much for the call the knowledge. And
people gave us something to think about.
And people like Mary Ellen know that I told you, my house in Ridgeville wasn't an HOA. I mean, sold in a day. Sold in a day. Because there's not people telling you what to do with your home.
I think it's awesome that it's an artist, but I think sometimes artists so preoccupied with whether they could.
Would you say something?
They didn't stop to think if they should.
This is eccentric. Would you say something? 216-578-0092. All that.
He trampled over my Jeff Goldblum line.
Whether or not the Cleveland Browns are committing some sort of a human rights error here when it comes to Baker Mayfield. I have no idea. It's all coming up. Ken Carmen, Anthony Live, alive with the...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
I got a text from my neighbor. Say, he goes, I'm planning to build a 65-foot Optimus Prime out front. You good with that? Well, as long as the city's okay with it,
yeah,
I would have my questions.
I mean, so the taste, the issue of taste, especially when it comes to art. Like, what if somebody is a World War II aficionado, and then next thing you know, they want to put an installation of swastikas all over? I mean, I'm using the extreme example. But
that's a pretty extreme example there, buddy.
No, I'm not even
Judas
trying to be funny.
Priest.
I'm not trying to be funny at all.
I know you're not.
I'm asking who gets to decide? Who decides the taste of something like that?
I think society is decided against that one.
Okay. But I mean...
Is society upset with dinosaurs and woolly mammoths and whatever the hell that thing is over by the driveway?
I mean, people are allowed to put Confederate flags up, right? Right next to their American flag.
We're talking a freedom of speech issue there.
But that's what this is. Your installation on your lawn is an expression of speech. And so, yes, I'm using an extreme examples, but not to be cute. I'm just asking who gets to decide this. And if the neighbors are all up in arms, which they're not right now, doesn't seem to be. We're not hearing that.
Well, Mary Ellen, I mean, who knows?
If you're the direct neighbor, though, and the house is for sale, and you see a prospective buyer walking in to tour, are you not going, hey, you gonna keep the dinosaurs? Or are you gonna...
Well, this is what I gotta wonder here. Is Mary Ellen, who called in, said she lived around the corner. He imports wood. Did she say the woods or the floors are made from imported wood?
No, she said just he imports wood from Africa. He's from Africa.
Yes, yes, yes.
He imports wood from Africa and builds these sculptures out of it. But as you look at the pictures,
this floor looks
that floor is amazing.
Outrageous.
Right.
So I'd have to be thinking if. Now, I don't know if he imports the wood for the flooring, if it's imported wood.
I would guess.
Okay, so if he did, then you have to wonder. It's 162 in today's market. The Zestimate in Zillow, take whatever you want. I'm just looking at Zillow Gone Wild from Twitter, right? 145.8. Now, that's over. It's overpriced. But if we're talking imported flooring, wouldn't the dinosaurs and the whatnot out front be hurting the value of the home overall?
Yeah, but
am I wrong?
But the home values don't. I mean, they are. They're only taken from the outside.
Because I know this. The first thing I did when I moved into my house over in the borough is I got rid of them bushes. And I hate that if I go and look up my house, them bushes are there. I hate it. I hated those bushes.
That'll change eventually.
Golly almighty. Well, you got to drive over there and take pictures. Right. Lima's buddy, Jim, this is not a joke. Jim actually drives over there and sends video to us as he's going in the circle, which isn't creepy at all.
Not at all, no.
He does that because that's the type of people Lima associates himself with. Jordan in Brooklyn. Hello. Jordan.
Hello, Jordan.
Jordan.
Yeah, hey, guys. Ken.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, so you think the dinosaurs would decrease the value of the property?
I don't know. Well, I don't know. I'm asking because if these are imported floors, we're talking really expensive hardware and hardwood that's supposed to be around for a long time. That's what I'm wondering.
I'm not talking hardwood. I'm talking dinosaurs because you know what's going to happen is Miles Garrett is going to see this article and he's going to pay millions and millions for this house. I'm telling you, he's obsessed with dinosaurs. He's going to make a ton of money. That guy's a genius.
Jordan, thank you very much for the call.
Ken, real quick, I just wanted to say, yeah, my mom never listens to the show, but she saw you on TV talking about your mother over the weekend. She said it was really touching, and she's sorry for your loss.
Thank you very much.
Thank your mother
very, very much for me, Jordan. I appreciate your kindness, and I appreciate her kindness and the kind words. Coming up next, we got Mike Florio joining us on the show. I'm just pointing out that I don't mind the dinosaurs, and I've always been the champion. I told you the story. When I went and took a look at, I'm not going to say the company, I almost slipped out there. When I looked at that one spec home, and they were like, we can build you something like this. And I go, well, I'd like a little bit more property here. And they go, well, this is up against a horse farm. I go, it's not my horse farm. And horses are, I've worked on a horse farm. They're filthy creatures. Now, people say they're beautiful, but you have to take good care of them or they'll be filthy creatures. And that was my problem, but she went down the list, and I told you the shed thing. She brought up the sheds, and she like went over it really quickly because she had a feeling I was going to have a problem with it, and I did. And I said, I go, listen, I understand that you brought up the shed because you couldn't build a shed in the neighborhood, Tone. You weren't allowed to do that. And I said, why can't I build a shed? Well, it's just they can be unsightly. And I said, well, what if I build a shed anyway? And she goes, well, that's against the rules. I go, what are you going to do to me if I build the shed? Well, we can take away services. I go, what services? Mowing the grass? I want to mow my own grass anyway. What are you taking away from me? Like, and it became this back and forth. And I finally said, listen, I don't even plan on building a shed, but since you told me I can't build a shed, I said this dead serious on my sons. Since you told me I can't build a shed, I want to fill my backyard with nothing but sheds up, burn those sheds down, and then build new sheds on top of those ashes. All because you said I couldn't build a shed. So while this might be in question, like not everybody loves everything Andy Warhol did, not everybody loves everything Van Gogh did or anything like that. Art is very personal, but just because there's dinosaurs and everything out there, I don't have a problem with it. Maybe the other neighbors do. I'm about a person can do with their property what is within the law, what is in the local laws that are posted, they're allowed to do.
Yes, everybody agrees with you. But we're talking about
I'm a champion of the little man.
Yeah, but we're talking about whether or not if you're the little man next door, how you feel about that. That's all we're talking about.
If I lived next door to it, I think it's pretty cool.
I don't think you would say that at all. Especially if a bunch of cars were coming to look at it every day.
Well, I just told a story about how your friends drive by and take videos of my house and then send it to us. I think I would be okay with some dinosaurs next door.
But if hundreds of cars were doing that every single day, became a tourist attraction, I think that would be a nightmare for you. I think you'd want to move out so fast.
I told you about my neighbor growing up. There were a lot of people wanted to come by and take a look at her. Coming up next, Mike Florio, who had a tweet about human decency when it comes to the Browns and Baker Mayfield. I don't really know what he said. I don't want to rip him for it. We'll get his thoughts on it next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.